Here we go.
Who the hell are you, man?
Genius, billionaire, playboy, philanthropist.
We are the Knight!
Uh-huh.
Nerd!
Hold on to your butts.
And now for something completely different.
Hello, everyone out there. Welcome to the Knights of Nerditude podcast, podcast for all things nerd. I am your host again tonight, broadcasting live from Deep 13. I'm here with...
Undisclosed location, John.
Too sad, too furious.
And Dr. Chris.
Oh, boy. Yeah, so we're all here again.
Get that order down.
Yeah, this is on you guys. This is all on you. I don't know how...
Actually, we did do it in a counterclockwise motion here on my screen. Or my screen. So...
Well, yeah, so hopefully next week you guys will get it a little better.
We'll start a whole text chain on it.
Yeah, right? Anyways, so tonight's episode, we always say that it's going to be light, and it's never light. It's always like an hour and a half long. So I'm not going to say it's light. I'm going to say it's super going to be long. No, it's going to be action-packed. We got a lot of stuff to talk about, even though three-quarters of us are on quarantine and not really leaving the house. So we're able to watch some stuff. Really quick.
A lot of stuff.
Yeah, no. Well, stuff is becoming available, which is really nice. A lot of movies are coming on demand, so we're able to start watching these things. But really quick, this past weekend, we've heard the complaints. We've heard people wanting to review this. So this weekend, John binge watched season 3 of Ozark. So John, really quick, what is your review?
Yeah, it's Ozark.
All right, so there is your really quick John review of Ozark season 3. So if you like season 1 and 2, I guess watch season 3.
It's sort of the same thing.
There you go. All right.
If I could give like a minor reel, because you guys would appreciate this.
All right.
They did so many great tropes of like the third season of a show, like adding a random family member who's like has their shit, you know, doesn't have their shit together and comes along. They like randomly put two other characters they had no idea what to do with together. Like it's great. And when I say two characters they had nowhere to do it together, I mean like literally two characters they had no idea what to do with and made it so they're fucking. So and the age is incredibly disparate too. It's incredible.
Oh boy. All right. So
like 60s. Like
question. Random question.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just because I'm watching the scene right now. If you're frozen in carbonite, do you get coronavirus?
No, you can't.
Okay.
It actually takes a while before you develop hibernation sickness. So you can actually be unfrozen not too long after you get frozen. I only know this because, spoiler alert, I'm reading the comics that take place between Empire and Return of the Jedi right now. Except all comics are canceled for a bit, so I would like my comics to come back. So, yeah.
Right. Anyway. Sorry.
Anyways, hey, moving on. And actually, kind of staying on the Star Wars topic, my one little bit of news is about Duel of the Fates, Colin Trevorrow's version of Star Wars.
That's a good name for a sequel, dude. That's like, oh. I'm pissed most about that.
Well, here's kind of a plus side. If you read the script or you heard about the script and you were like, I would like to see that. A guy by the name of Ethan Taylor, he actually claymationed it's less than 5 minutes of the script and like goes through all the plot points and like it's actually really cool. I watched it before we all hopped on here. Definitely recommend it. It's just look up like claymation, and the video that I watched, it ended with some great pre-production like drawings and stuff of what this movie was going to be like, and like it looks beautiful, but goofy at times. And the people who made the claymation version of this script, they point out the goofy parts. So at least they admit that it's not a perfect script. Anyways,
full disclosure. Only because I love Star Wars, but my probably the least favorite movies I can ever watch is Claymation.
Really?
I think if they really burned all the clay in the world so they didn't make Claymation movies, I would not be opposed to anything like that.
And also, like, retroactively burned all the ones that were Claymation, like all those Rudolph ones, like, legitimately, like, give me nightmares.
Oh yeah,
as a child and possibly now.
It's
You don't like Rudolph's Shiny New Year,
right?
With like the cracked out meth, like the
vulture.
Not a seagull, vulture.
Yeah, this past Christmas we actually started watching it. Amy had never seen it, and we started watching it, and her brain melted, and we didn't finish it. We got up until I think the night. When the knight is introduced, she was like, and done. I was like, come on, we're like halfway.
Like, someone could write an academic paper on just the mythos of Rudolph's Shiny New Year. Like, how does that universe work?
Yeah, it makes no sense.
Sam, you know, I think you should get on that.
Yeah. Start studying that movie.
We're gonna be like, Sam, how's it going? Have a happy New Year.
You know,
the next Skype call, Sam's gonna have freaking Claymation characters.
He is gonna be like Claymation.
You're gonna have those like string boards, conspiracy boards. I'm gonna have one behind me. It's all
yeah. This is his social distancing task: is to make Claymation.
Anyways, all right, so we'll move on. So
let's shift gears faster than Vin Diesel.
Yeah,
automatic charger.
I mean, we're going full speed towards that review by Sam. So if you listened last week, you know that it's going to be time for Too Fast, Too Furious in a little bit, but not yet. We got a few things to get through first.
I cannot wait.
We're not firing off the NOS now, guys.
I'm gonna tease it. Can we tease it now? I cannot wait until further down the road when we start to get to the movies where they start shifting automatic cars.
I don't know much about cars, but I do actually drive a manual. So.
Oh, man. All right.
Shift automatic.
All right. So, really quick, I watched a movie. A 2020 movie. Haha. It's a movie that I've been trying to watch for a while. Yeah, I get to add it to the board. So the movie was Underwater. Yeah, it's April, and this is the second movie we're reviewing from this year. That's how sad this is. But anyways, Underwater, it stars Kristen Stewart and a bunch of other people. Was it Christina Hendricks from Game of Thrones and Iron Fist? Not Hendricks. Well, yeah, whatever her name is. Anyways, a lot of people. TJ Miller. Thrones? Yeah, the British actress.
Gwendolyn Chris.
No. Chris, Christina? Who plays the lady from Iron Fist? The friend who used to be part of the Hand. I'm like, shoot, is it foot or hand?
Wait, the friend who used to be part of the Hand.
Yeah, like she's Asian.
We don't have
anyways,
to do all this.
Yeah. Anyways, so it's a monster movie, which, I mean, I like sci-fi monster movies. I just went in because I was like, I just want to watch a monster movie, you know. You don't get a good monster, well, a monster movie all that often, even though we've got like Godzilla's coming on right now. But I mean, I was entertained the whole time by it. It was described by a lot of people as alien, but underwater. And I can understand because, you know, you feel claustrophobic a lot. There's a lot of darkness because, you know, they're 6.5 miles under the ocean at a drill site. Now, really quick. So they were drilling and then something happened. Can you guys guess what might have happened?
They drilled too deep.
Oh, yeah, they drilled too deep. Sam, if you drill too deep in the ocean, what might you find?
If you drill really deep, you might hit the mantle.
Well, I'm talking sci-fi horror here, Sam. Sci-fi fantasy horror. If you drill too deep in the ocean, what are you going to find?
The old ones?
Like who?
Wait.
Like Cthulhu?
You damn straight they found Cthulhu. Honestly, I found out like halfway through the movie that there's like Cthulhu is the bad guy in this movie, and I was like, that makes this movie so much better. So yeah, if you want to watch a Cthulhu movie, I 110% recommend this movie. Like the fact that it's Cthulhu in the end, and it's nice because because it's underwater and it's dark, you don't fully see Cthulhu, but you can tell like it's got the tentacles coming out of the mouth, and so like you can tell. If you're familiar with Cthulhu, it's Cthulhu. And, like, there's a bunch of, like, the deep ones, those humanoid fish people from, like, Call of Cthulhu and all the other H.P. Lovecraft books about the old gods and whatnot. Like, it all makes sense. And, it, like, honestly, like, I really enjoyed this movie. I was very surprised at how much I was going to enjoy it. And like I said, because it's got Cthulhu in the end, it just made it so much better. Now I get to rate it. I was actually thinking probably a 6.4. Because, I mean, it's just...
It's not really that high.
It's not... Well, I mean, I understand why people... Like, first of all, it was a box office bomb. Nobody went to go see this movie. But I think, honestly, it was poorly advertised. Because when I first saw it, I was like, oh, it's just a disaster movie where, like, earthquake and now they're trapped. And then it wasn't until, like, a week before it dropped that they were like, oh, there's monsters. And I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I remember the first trailers I saw, it was, there were monsters.
Like, this, the one from, like, last November?
Yeah, whenever the first one I saw was.
Because this is also... This one has been in post-development for the past 3 years, which is another reason.
Oh.
Yeah. It is one of T.J. Miller's last roles. If you like T.J. Miller movies. Honestly, he does a great job. And actually, it's him and the third guy from, was it 10 Cloverfield Lane? The guy who ends up dying in the bunker? Both of them are.
World.
Yeah. They're both in this. So I'm like, oh, there's two Cloverfield guys in this movie. Like, who knew? So they understand.
Oh, that was a movie I watched the other day.
10 Cloverfield Lane or, oh, Cloverfield.
Just Cloverfield?
Yeah.
Great movie.
It was kind of weird that you mentioned Cloverfield via text, and then I watched a movie with two guys from two Cloverfield movies. It was just kind of odd to me. But yeah, if like, for a monster movie, it's enjoyable. Like, this is in no way, shape, or form a, like, greatest movie of the year nominee or anything, but like it's just a fun thriller to watch, and like the creatures are pretty cool. Moving on, John, did you want to do your movie review real quick?
Sure. I watched over the weekend another 2020 release. Look at me.
Ooh.
called The Gentleman, which is a plural word. This is a movie by Guy Ritchie, directed by Guy Ritchie, starring Matthew McConaughey, Colin Farrell, Charlie Hunnam, Michelle Dockery, a bunch of other people probably have seen. Yeah, I mean, look, Guy Ritchie to me is best, you know, I think more people at this point have seen, you know, Sherlock Holmes, and he just did Aladdin, and that big King Arthur movie that was okay. But to me, best sort of represented and to me known for his earlier very kind of, I don't know what to call him, high energy, kind of gritty, gangster comedy movies, like Lock, Stock, Two Smoking Barrels, Snatch, and then sort of Rock and Rolla, very much in the same vein, even though the first two were pretty much right on back to each other. Love all those movies. This one kind of felt like paint by numbers. Parts of it I liked. A lot of witty dialogue. You've got Hugh Grant doing a very weird accent the whole movie.
What accent is he trying to do?
He's doing more of like it's not like a Cockney accent. It's more just like a lower class England accent. Like, I mean, Hugh Grant sounds very, you know, eloquent and, you know.
Yeah, yeah. He's got that posh kind of British accent.
Posh, perfect word for it. Like David Beckham's wife, David Beckham, good friend of Guy Ritchie. Okay. As he was in King Arthur as well. Anyway. I don't even know where the fuck I'm going with on that. It's a decent movie. It's a decent watch. You know, if it comes on Netflix, I don't think any of you guys would watch it and be like, oh, that sucked. And it was like the waste of my time. So I'll just put it that way. The very weird choices. Everybody in it looks incredible. Like just great outfits all around, which is an odd comment for me to make. The styling. That's all I got. I'm going to give it maybe a 7.9.
Wow. So you went really high. All right.
That might be too.
Well, I'm just because I'm looking at the IMDb, and you're basically on par with the fans. They rated it that high, but critics gave it like a 51. So, anyway.
That sounds right. Yeah. The guy doesn't have his fastball.
Yeah. All right. So,
otherwise, movies. So I think that's why. I mean, appealing to me. So.
All right. So, next topic, really quick. We all finished Tiger King. Sam, did you actually watch Tiger King?
I started it.
Oh, God damn you, Sam. What did you think so far?
Still going to spoil it.
Yeah, we're spoiling.
Yeah, I don't mind if you spoil it. But, so my thoughts on it was I didn't like this as much as I thought I would.
Okay. How many episodes did you get?
I got through two.
Okay.
And I got to that twist when they're like, oh, he might have murdered her husband.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, it never grabbed me.
Okay.
And I wasn't really entertained, it just kind of felt sad. Like, I'm just like, all these people are just sad.
Mm.
And it's like, I don't know, it just never grabbed me. I never got to that point where I was like, I just have to keep watching this.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the second episode's probably the best for me. Because that's, like, their craziest. Like, they start making these things seem like cults, you know? You get your buddy, what's his name, Bagram or whatever?
Yeah, oh, yeah. With the partners. Only hiring virgins.
Yep.
All of his sister wives and, yeah.
And apparently he was on the iconic VMA Britney Spears video. He's actually in there. Like, of her, like performing.
They're tigers.
There's tigers in there, and he's in the background. So he's one of the people controlling the tigers. So he was on stage with Britney Spears.
But he shot her. You don't know.
So.
But the third episode is when they follow her a little bit.
Right.
That gets your devious side going.
Yeah, where you're like, this, like, she had to have done it. Like, everything makes sense. Like,
did you guys? Okay, so by maybe like one of the hardest things I've laughed at in so long, and I'm not the kind of guy who's like following every time he tweets or whatever, because frankly, a lot of it's like sickening.
I know, and exactly where you're going with this.
OJ had an incredible tweet.
what was OJ's tweet?
He's just like, so first off, this is, I don't know if you're familiar with OJ Twitter videos, but they're always like on a golf course. Yeah. He's just went.
He golfs.
He's always like, well, like, he's always like in such a, I don't know if he's always cheerful, whether or not he's actually in a good mood. He's always like putting on his happy face.
He's always very OJ.
Yeah, very energetic. Anyway. So he's like, well, everybody, I took your advice. I watched Tiger King. And, you know, I just think a lot of it's crazy. A lot of white people liking tigers, which, because it's weird, because there's a whole, you know, you saw OJ and Made in America, the whole race thing with him. Anyway, not exactly, doesn't strike me as a white people kind of guy, you know?
Yeah.
So he threw that out there. And then he just goes, but there's not a shred of doubt in my mind that Carol Baskin killed her husband. And as soon as he said shredded down my mind, I fucking lost it because I knew what he was going to say.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, that was great. Oh, my God.
Truly touching all components of society.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to have Trump do something.
I just... like I said before, I still love just... that people like this just exist.
Yeah, no, it's so great.
You literally cannot make some of this shit up.
I mean, the craziest part of the whole thing, honestly, like, well, not the craziest, the whole thing's just insane, but just, we kind of teased it last week a little bit, but the truth about Joe Exotic's husbands, like the reveal about that.
Yeah, okay, can I say that at the beginning, the director, he's been filming this for years, right? Clearly.
It's like, I years. Think 5 years he did it.
Yeah, I mean, that's truly dedication, and I'll give him all the credit in the world for this.
Mm-hmm.
But the editing and the way this is laid out,
mm-hmm,
is almost perfect. Almost perfect. Only because it's just, you're right, the reveals. But then, yeah, it's like, it's the big reveals like that with all the husbands and stuff. And then it's like the ex-husband's mom,
mm,
was in the picture. And then it was just the timing of everything. You're like, oh, shit. And then there's also the small little ones, like the girl who got her arm ripped off by the tiger.
Yeah.
I didn't know that until they showed it. Then they zoomed down on her, and that was it. Like, they showed it.
See somebody missing limbs at a thing with wild animals that, like, you know, carnivorous animals, and it's like, I wonder.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you think, the guy without legs.
Yeah, and he brings that up. He's like, you know, everybody sees a guy without legs. He's like, they're always like, oh, he lost those to the animals. He's like, no, it was just a zipline accident.
Yeah, I bet you.
Then I just, like fucking filed my bones off.
Right.
Oh. I bet you Joe wanted to sell it like a tiger ate his legs.
Probably. See that, man? The tiger ate his leg.
I just love when he's in the gift shop talking to people. He's like, one of our people lost an arm. Arm was bitten off. Now, I could give you a rain check or a refund. It doesn't matter. Like, what do you guys want? And everybody's like, what? Somebody almost died? Like...
Yeah. This is going to bankrupt me, or whatever it was. Yeah, I'll never financially be able to recover
from this financially.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's just, I can't. And then and then you just think, in the later episode, I think it was the second to last episode, where all this shit comes out.
Oh.
And it's just like, this guy was planning to kill this lady while he was running for governor.
Was he, though? Was he planning on killing her?
Well, we're gonna ask
some
difficult questions.
Yeah. So, well, first of all, Sam, do you know what we're hinting at about the husbands, like the truth behind them?
Don't know.
They're straight.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, meth does crazy things.
Or at least the first two.
Right. Well, yeah. The first one ends up getting, was it the lady at the front desk gets her pregnant.
Yeah,
the
secretary pregnant. Yeah.
And so he runs away, he leaves Joe with her. So he's left with the California guy who's so hopped up on meth while Joe's running for governor, which I absolutely love how they got the campaign manager. And
that guy is...
I love that guy. That guy is like the most normal person there.
He's so fucking incredibly normal.
He's just so normal. He's like, I was a manager at Walmart.
Yeah, he was a manager at Walmart manager, and then became the campaign manager. Like, what the hell? But yeah, so it's actually one of the most...
Watching that scene.
Yeah, it's the most disturbing scene of the entire documentary is his reaction to the second husband shooting himself in the head.
Yeah. And you see it. It's on security footage. It's nuts.
Like, you don't see the guy shooting himself, but you see the reaction, and it's just like hands to the face. Oh my God, what just happened?
I think that's worse.
And there's no sound too. It's just silence, and you just see his reaction.
You see the flash.
You see the flash, and the camera kind of shakes a little bit, and then it's just like, oh my God, what just happened? And it's like super depressing, super dark. And then for some reason, Joe Exotic sings at his funeral. For some reason.
Oh God,
right. He puts on a show. Yeah,
and then two months later, he gets remarried.
2 months later, yeah.
Yeah, he gets remarried 2 months later.
And he invites the mom of the dude who killed himself.
Mm-hmm. And it's just like, it's her, the flower girl, and like one other person.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, he invites her to like a fucking wedding that like six people go to.
Yeah. It's like a small ass wedding.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Dude, the guy, he's such a like entertainer and selfish person. It's just unreal.
Well, dissecting that, the whole him getting remarried, he knew that his husbands were straight. And they were only in it for the meth. Like, Joe was definitely feeding the meth habits for both of them.
Yeah.
And I think...
I wonder if he was a dealer, too.
Yeah, that I don't know. I mean, he never got convicted for that. But who knows? It's Oklahoma. Anyways. No, I wonder if deep down he realized that these two guys didn't love him. And that's what made it so easy for him to move on, where he actually found somebody who genuinely likes him and is not like in love with him for the meth.
I don't know if that's the case on the other guy.
But I feel like it has more of a case than like how he ended up married to the other two.
I think it seems a little more legit. I don't know if it's all the way there.
No. I mean,
he seems like the kind of person who just needs attention and love from everyone around him.
Yeah.
So, but he doesn't feel any towards those who give him the love.
Right.
Yeah.
Just even like his first reaction to one of his employees losing his arm is, "I won't financially recover from this."
Yeah.
Doesn't seem that concerned about his employee.
Well, I mean,
Sam, he put on the EMT jacket. I mean.
he was there, like, saying to put it on ice and everything. I mean, he did kind of take control of it, so.
Yeah, but you like, combine that with the fact that, like, he has two husbands who are both straight, and then gets quickly remarried after one kills himself.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's clearly this is all about him.
And he controlled that husband, too, the one that ended up killing himself, like, wouldn't let him off the compound. So, like, very controlling. Right. So the meat and potatoes of this whole thing is the murder plot.
Yeah.
Did he plan to kill her? Did
Carol?
Joe Exotic plan to kill Carol?
Did we think that?
Well, yeah.
I think he made baseless threats.
I agree.
That he was going to kill her.
Yeah.
Because that's just the kind of guy he is. He's very brash and...
Right, but there's no, like, meaning behind all of it. It's just, like, empty threats kind of thing. Like, it's never going to happen.
Yeah, it's empty threat.
But it was...
Do I think he paid the guy? Yeah.
There's no evidence of him paying the guy.
No, I know. But do I think that those other two guys kind of enticed him to do it? Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Jeff Lowe is a giant scumbag. Incredible, by the way, to win the scumbag battle here, but Jeff Lowe doesn't.
Yeah, and like the more you hear about Jeff Lowe, the worse it gets as well. Because like the guy's a scam artist, obviously. Never had any money. He had several, cases against him for scamming, and and then he falls into Joe Exotic's lap, and like Joe thinks it's an angel sent to him from the heavens, and in reality, like Jeff Lowe just wanted the zoo, And, like, it was just a perfect situation that he could con it. Because, like, he felt, like, right when that happened, that was the $1 million lawsuit from Carol. Who, by the way, Carol's a bitch. Because, like, her husband's a nice guy. Her current husband. Because there was that
I don't even know about that.
Well, no, there was that whole conversation where he was like, I can't pay for this. Like, can we do it where it's like a monthly plan? And the husband's like, yeah, that's fine. Like that, we can do that and everything. And he was like, okay. And then we're like, Carol, is that okay? And she's like, no, I want his parents' house. I want that house. It's like, we agreed on like $1,000 a month, slow it down in the winter. Like, Joe Exotic and the husband, they like literally put together a good plan that made financial sense for both of them. And Carol didn't want any of it. She just wanted to destroy Joe's life.
She just wanted to watch the world burn.
Right? Like,
it's she's a bitch for getting, and I understand that Joe abused his parents in many ways.
Yeah. Oh,
but
yeah.
It's she's just a cunt for going after them.
Yeah, no, like,
no, I mean, let's face it, there are ways around that. Even though they financed a bunch of it, there are ways around, you know, not going after some parents' home, you know?
Like, that was the point where I was like, okay, I think I like Carol's current husband. I think he has a good head on his shoulders. And, like, everything that's happening, he's just trying to protect her and the facility. Carol's just batshit crazy. Like, she's insane, and she doesn't care about anybody. Like, I don't even... she doesn't even care about those cats, let's be honest. She complains that cats shouldn't be in cages while talking in front of a cat in a small cage. Like...
right.
Like, she doesn't care. And notice, she's got so many shrines and stuff to all these dead big cats. None for her ex-husband.
You know what was even better?
Yeah.
Wait, what happened? Wait, say that again.
So she walks through that shrine of like all the different tigers that have died, or different big cats that have died that she's housed at the facility, and like talks about them in length. There are no like memorials or anything to her ex-husband.
Dude, she 100% killed.
Oh yeah, she did. if OJ said she did it, she did it.
He's an expert.
He would know.
He spent all those years researching how he would have done it. So I mean,
yeah. I'm surprised they never like that's the kind of line you like feed to somebody to say so it's on camera. You know what I mean? Like, it's not even like the guy knows it. You're like, hey, you should say this. Like the guy with the jet ski guy should have been like, yo, say how Carol has all these monuments to the cats, but none for her ex-husband. And then he would say it. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah. But all in
all. How about that guy, by the way?
What?
How about my guy, what the hell's his name? Garrettson or something?
James Garrettson.
Yeah.
That guy, his haircut, my God.
The jet ski thing was fucking
awesome. Oh, that was awesome with Eye of the Tiger playing as he's like riding on the jet ski. Oh my God.
Somebody compared it to the, I think it's the first episode of Eastbound and Down, and it's like Teddy Powers is just doing it, and it actually like matches up incredibly well. I don't know if they edited it to make it look like it, but I mean, to a certain extent, it's like, how many different ways can you shoot a jet ski?
Yeah.
Also, a little pin for later, when we talk Fast and Furious, how's there never been a jet ski movie?
Speed 2.
Baywatch.
No, that's not really. No.
No, Speed 2. No, Sean's right.
Yeah. There's a lot of jet skis in that movie.
There are?
Waterworld?
Yeah.
Waterworld. That's right. Two great classics.
There you go.
I've never seen Waterworld. Maybe that's it.
Oh.
But anyway, yeah, it's an incredible story. I mean, like, frankly, the writing on it is very much, like, literally like a Hollywood movie. Like, Jeff Lowe is the guy who, like, you know, two-thirds the way through, like, the gangster movie that comes in, and it's, like, making a deal with the devil sort of thing.
Mm.
So he's the Justin Timberlake in The Social Network.
Oh, God.
Sort of, but, like, more outwardly evil. He's more like, the structure doesn't work that way, but he's more like a Mr. Pink and Reservoir Dogs kind of thing.
Okay.
So Chris, really quick, you think that Joe Exotic paid... Alan Glover to kill Carol? Are you?
Yeah.
You're down that road?
I'm down that road, but I think those other two are equally as guilty for it.
Because I'm 100% sure that Jeff Lowe, because if you think about, like, you talk about all the conversations they had on the phone, and the whole time Jeff Lowe is kind of coaching Alan, like, what to say, and, like, so, like, he says the correct thing, because, like, you talk to him on every moment. He was like, I never went to Florida. Never happened. And never, and even in the phone calls, he's like, I didn't go. He's like, no, you did, remember? He's like, oh, yeah, I totally did go to Florida. And, like, that was, like, the big smoking gun kind of thing. Like, well, he went to Florida to kill her, so he didn't go to South Carolina.
I think they're equally as guilty as it. They're just encouraging him to do it.
Yeah. I couldn't believe they got him, like, at the end. This is Jeff Lowe, where he's like, look, did I say that he was going to kill Carol when he never really meant it just because I wanted to get rid of him? Yes. Like he admitted that he, like, set him up.
Yeah.
Like, he literally
admitted it. Yeah.
Oh my God. It's crazy. But I do like how at the end it's kind of implied that something huge is about to happen to Jeff Lowe. And, like, I need to know now. Like, I want the feds come down on him now.
Yeah. And then Joe Exotic, like, turns coat and he's like, yeah. Sends him after, like, Doc Annell and
The feds raided his facility, like,
right.
That's in December of 2019 they raided that facility. Like, that's crazy, like, the amount of stuff that's happening due to this. But I mean, this is getting a mini series, by the way. I don't know if you guys are up to date with that.
No.
Yeah, so I don't know who's doing it, but I know Carol Baskins is being played by from SNL.
I can't tell you it either, but fuck.
Oh my God.
She's from SNL. Hillary Clinton.
Oh my God. What's
Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters.
Yeah, Jesus.
McKinnon.
Kate McKinnon.
That's it.
Kate McKinnon.
That's it. Yeah, so she's playing Carol Baskins in it.
All right, I'll take that.
Yeah, no,
that's fitting.
I think it's great casting. Oh, yeah. And by the way, people who fucking post to social media, like, comparisons, like, they have makeup, assholes. They don't have to look exactly like the guy.
Right.
Okay? There's a lot of other things for casting. Like, temperament, believability, age. Come on.
Yeah.
Chops, like, comedic chops, like, you can't put people in movies just because they look alike, okay? Get your fucking shit together. I'm tired of looking at it.
Rant over.
Yeah.
No. You know what I mean, though?
No, that's a good rant. I agree. Like, let the professionals cast this, not, like, you guys, because they look similar.
I'm not saying it's, like, a crisis. It's just, you know, it just doesn't, you know, looks bad on the poster.
Yeah. All right. Any final thoughts on Tiger King?
It's kind of a great series for the time it was released.
It was perfect.
It was kind of great timing.
It gave us all something to talk.
Are we in our houses because of the Corona or Tiger King? It's tough to say.
I mean, it's a seven. All right, so this is what I think a docuseries should be: 7 episodes, 40 minutes apiece.
Yeah.
Right.
This was kind of the prime. Maybe Netflix is figuring it out, but this is the prime space that it needs to be in.
Yeah. No, this
and one. I kind of like these two. These, like, whodunit, but you know, some weird conspiracy theory stuff like this.
Right, but just the world that it occupies too is so foreign to us.
Yeah,
like, I mean, it's like these people are living in their own existence.
Yeah, absolutely. So I watched this Scheme on HBO last night. It's a documentary about Haskins. I don't know. It's an NBA agent who, like, paid coaches to get players and stuff like that. It's just, it's so messed up, like, some of this stuff that the FBI, essentially, we paid the FBI to pay for these coaches to get paid. It's just ridiculous as a taxpayer. And
what,
it's just,
what is the, what is this this
it's
again
called the scheme it's called the scheme it's about an sports agent who recruits middle school and high school students and gets them to go to colleges. And it's about the agents paying coaches to, you know, keep the players happy and yada, 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 things like that. You know the whole Rick Pitino thing?
Yeah.
And then the Arizona coach with the Adidas.
Yeah.
It's about that whole thing.
Okay.
It's about this guy. They interviewed this one guy. I forget his first name. Is it Haskins?
Christian Haskins, Dawkins? Maybe?
Dawkins. That's it. Christian Dawkins. And it just follows him. But it was actually pretty good. I don't usually follow basketball, so yeah. It's out of my wheelhouse. But I was very much into this episode, into this movie. Or it's a documentary. It's an hour and a half long. It's 2 hours long. But it was worth it if you don't really know anything about it. So.
All right. Well,
I'm in the documentary phase right now. I don't know why.
Any other good ones coming across or maybe bring up later?
Have you watched the McDonald's one yet?
No, I was. That was next on the list. I was going to try that one.
All right. Maybe that's next week. We'll see.
All right.
I don't know if I don't know if there's going to be a lot to discuss about it, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess moving on. Sam, it's time to go too fast and go too furious right now. So take it over.
You were breaking up there for me, so I wasn't entirely catch your pitch over to me, but I'll just start here.
Drop your top and let's go.
Yes, so we are now in the second of nine movies out for the Fast and Furious series. This one, the amazingly named Too Fast, Too Furious. This movie starts just like the first movie.
Right. It's like any good movie. You know, they say a lot of good movies start with a wedding. Any good Fast and the Furious movie, and it starts with a car race.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? I was sitting there watching the first car race, and I'm like, so far, my favorite part of the series has been the street races.
Yeah.
It's like
That's usually how it goes for a little while.
It's like those, mostly because like nobody's really talking, so you don't notice like Paul Walker's terrible acting.
Tyrese Gibson's run these streets. It's funny because the dude was raised, he's imprisoned in Barstow somewhere in middle of fuck nowhere, and then he goes to Miami, and then the next night he's like, I run these streets, and I'm like, you just got to fucking Miami.
You know what's incredible?
You just got to Miami.
What I really like about like that opening scene, and I only watched like 40 minutes of this movie, so
yeah.
I don't know how much. Let me just say how much I enjoyed this. Like the, I guess, production design or whatever you'd say of the like car scene or the racing scene. How like all the groups have like different outfits and demographic choices. Like, I love it when people do that. Oh, like that Guy Ritchie movie I was just watching. It's like there was related to cars, there was a body shop that the owner was a lady. Guess who were the only people who worked there were?
Ladies.
Also ladies.
Oh, all right.
Like, yes, movies don't do dumb shit like this anymore. So that's why I really enjoyed what I saw.
But we get two characters introduced that have now been stuck, we've been with for the whole time, right? We got Ludacris.
Luda, I just know him as Luda. I forget what his name is actually in this, but
incredible afro.
Oh yeah. That's an amazing afro.
Ludacris is a rapper also known as I think his real name's Chris Biggs.
Like in real life?
Bridges. Griff Bridges.
Yeah. Sorry, Bridges, Luda's character is what? Tej?
Tej, yeah.
T-E-J? Tej?
Tej, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Anyway, those two, Tyrese Gibson and Ludacris, stay with us.
Yeah.
So I'm happy about that. I'm so happy about that.
I don't know. Yeah, I actually kind of enjoyed Tyrese's character a bit. Like, he had a bit more personality than the entire gang from the first movie. gang of Vin Diesel's gang was, they were all kind of dull and douchey.
And the same.
Yeah, they're like,
yeah, they were very much the same. And then you get, like, the only difference was Paul Walker and his whiteness, and the, yeah, and that was just about it.
And, like, even then, it's like, most of that gang was already white, but
they were
Paul white.
I have to admit, you're right, though. It gave two positive influences and characters, and it was those two. It was Ludacris and what's his name? Roman Pierce.
Yeah, Roman. Yeah, but I have to say, first two thirds of this movie, I was like, okay, so it's just like the same movie, all right, and we just kept going through the same numbers and stuff, and then like, we reach that point at the end where they're being chased by the cops in that final chase scene, and then they pull into that garage.
No, that's...
And then they open up the garage, and a bunch of just pickup trucks with, like, cow catchers on the front of them come rolling out, plow through the cops, and then, like, 1,000 cars come out, and I'm like, this is what I've been waiting for. This is the moment. This is the moment where I start to love these movies.
And did you love this one?
I loved that movie from that moment on. Because, like, after that, we got, like, the ejector seats for some reason.
Yeah, a car leaping over the water to the back of a boat.
Oh, it was just, it got so ridiculous and stupid. I loved it so much.
All right, well, they only just get more stupid. Well, I don't know, you have to get through Tokyo Drift first. But
yeah.
Yes. That's going to be an interesting one for you.
Yeah, that might be tough for you, Sam.
Does anybody go undercover?
Yeah, that one's... Tokyo Drift, I think, is going to be really tough for you to get through. It's going to be the hardest one for you. That said, after you see all the other ones, there's one character you want to come back, and it is the guy from Tokyo Drift. So it's just, I don't know. You'll get there. You'll get there. You're starting to love it. You're starting to love it, Sam.
It's hard to say much about this movie because most of it is, well, just watch the first one. It's just the first one.
Right, and has been Diesel.
If you knew this was going to be a franchise, by the time you're watching the second movie, you'd just be like, you know, it was a boring movie. All we did was just get added two characters. That's all they did. They just built out the team, and that's it.
Does anybody know why Vin Diesel is not in this movie?
No. He chose to do the Riddick. What was the Riddick one that came out?
Chronicles of Riddick?
Yeah.
Was that in 2003?
Yeah.
So, what looks like over here, it looks like they had two alternate scripts, one with Vin Diesel, one with Paul Walker.
Oh, who we follow?
But weird choice for them to be like, listen, it's all on Paul.
Honestly, could you picture Vin Diesel being in this and caring as well as Paul Walker, I guess.
That acting, though, particularly the scene where he's being, like, debriefed for the first time, the acting is just, it's very, like, very bad.
Yeah.
I mean, God love the guy, may he rest in peace, but, you know, Jesus. there's an incredible line by him now in retrospect. Oh, when he's driving Eva Mendes around, and, like, going really fast. Like, why, you think I'm going to get into an accident?
It's like, too soon, man. Too soon.
Oh, God. Yeah.
He's just looking at her.
Sorry, just looking at Vin Diesel's lineup over the next few years.
Oh yeah, I was doing the same
thing. I cannot wait. He's got.
Did
fast.
They make another Triple X movie with him, or was that in production?
No, they the third one. Return of.
Something yeah, Xander. Whatever.
Yeah, I keep wanting to say Xander Cruz, but that's the character from Frisky Dingo.
Yeah, yeah. I made that mistake.
Xander Cage. It's Xander Cage.
Yeah. No, he did. He wasn't in the second one because that was.
That was Ice Cube.
Ice Cube. Yeah. No, but Vin Diesel's upcoming movies are Fast 9, yep. Fast and Furious 10.
Yep.
And then he's in Guardians, but that's, you know, whatever.
Avatar 2.
He's in Avatar 2 and then Furia.
I cannot wait for Furia.
Was he in Avatar?
No, but he's in Avatar 2.
But Ribisi is, and he was in the platoon in Saving Private Ryan. So
and apparently The Last Witch Hunter is getting a sequel, possibly.
That doesn't need to happen.
Guys, what if Paul Giamatti was in the next Avatar movie? Doesn't that just seem right? Like, if we play like the ending of Big Fat Liar where he's all blue and it's a different effect this time?
I don't know. Don't you know that they already filmed the next five Avatar movies already?
Yeah, they had to push it back some more time because of the coronavirus. For some reason.
Top Gun got pushed back today.
Yes, it did.
What got pushed back?
Top Gun.
Maverick. The release date or the...
Yeah, it's going to be, was it the holiday of later this year? So it'll Jesus. Be either Thanksgiving or Christmas.
The thing is, though, it's almost at the point where, like, you think some big fish in a small pond could release, you know, do a, you know, direct to home $20 rental. And like make a killing right now, mm-hmm. or like 2 weeks from now. Am I crazy?
No, you're not crazy.
No,
not like a Wonder Woman, but like something substantial.
like a mid range, like where it was might do well in the theaters.
Yeah, like a Shazam would be perfect.
Yeah, maybe
people would. Everybody would fucking watch Shazam right now.
So, rumor has it that Disney is doing the research on it for Black Widow.
Okay.
Yeah. They're researching. I don't think they're going to. I think this is going to be a theater movie, but you know, it's not like they're not thinking about it. You know?
Right.
Because if you do it next year, if you postpone it, then you're essentially cutting into profits from the other superhero. Because what is next year? Eternals.
No, Eternals is later this year. Next year is. I believe it's was the Ten Rings.
All right, so yeah, once you postpone one thing, everything has to go.
Yeah, you have to push everything back because that's just the way that the formula is. It's like one leads into the next. So, which is going to be weird where this falls in because obviously it's a prequel to stuff. Well, it's supposed to take place after Civil War, I believe.
Yeah, it's after Civil War.
Yeah, but it's supposed to be a prequel to everything else.
Exactly. This is supposed to start everything, so I don't know.
Well, any fast thoughts before we move on Too Fast, Too Furious?
So this one was better, I think a little bit better than the first, a little bit. But Tokyo Drift is going to be Sam's hold up. That's going to be the one where he's going to have to sit and kind of chug through it.
Yeah,
I'd say one third of this movie was better. The other two thirds were worst by just not being different.
What was the better part?
The trucks. Last
third. Okay.
Just that last everything after the trucks is just amazing.
The scramble.
It's a scramble, baby.
This movie, by the way, just strictly on Metacritic. Higher rating, or no, sorry, the lowest rating of the series. I'm assuming. I only checked the first three. I'm guessing all the four after.
Yeah, that's a good.
Yeah, well,
good thought.
Actually, I don't know what the top. I don't know what the order is for ratings for Metacritic. It'd be interesting. It will be interesting to know for next week.
This was like in the 30s, I think.
Yeah, next week. All right, let's move on.
All right, moving on. John, you have a game.
I have a game for us. Won't take super long. I found it interesting. So, and this was, you know, don't like read like coronavirus stuff into this. I think this was kind of before all that. But it was kind of a breakdown of the, hang on, let me pull it up here. Okay, so these are all network TV shows. Yeah, these are all network TV shows.
Okay.
Broadcast networks, so like the big networks and what's the one? CW. Anyway, so do you guys want to guess? And this is the only one that I think for sure, like between the two. Guess which is like the highest, has the highest audience, like the oldest audience.
Oh, the CBS. Oldest? CBS, I would it's say.
CW. Well, CBS is littered with like the top shows here. And it's on CBS. What show?
Oh, what show has the oldest audience?
I don't think your parents watch it.
Blue Bloods.
What?
Blue Bloods.
Blue Bloods?
No, I say the CSI.
NCIS?
NCIS.
Yeah, I was going to go to NCIS.
No, Sam's got it. Blue Bloods.
Yeah.
Wow.
69.4 years is the average.
Wow!
For Blue Bloods?
That person has to, well, not anymore, but they used to have to start taking money out of their IRAs at that age. So, some other interesting ones I found, or you guys want to see if you can guess any of the other ones? I think I have the top, like, 15 or 20 here.
Alright.
Wait, hold on.
So
yeah.
Like, for ages?
Yeah, the oldest average.
Is it on CBS again as well?
Oh, you don't have to get the exact one. Just so I've got like the top 15.
Okay.
So I'm gonna have to say NCIS is top 10.
Yeah, that's gotta be up there.
NCIS is third at 67.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So I'm gonna go Law and Order, SVU.
No.
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 That's gotta be young audience. I have to imagine that would happen younger.
Yeah. Oh man, I'm trying to. The problem is, I just don't watch network television anymore.
Oh,
yeah, but young, think of like what's advertised Sheldon. During football, you know?
Young Sheldon.
Young Sheldon.
Young Sheldon is not on the list.
Wow.
No. Is it? Are these all current? These are all current shows.
These
right?
are all. I'm pretty sure these are all on. Are currently on.
None of them are talk shows, right?
You know, but they're not all narratives. Like there's
something. Amazing Race.
There should be one that's very easy to guess. Amazing Race. No.
Survivor.
No. Magnum PI
for oldest. Magnum PI is one.
Forgot that was even on.
Where's the rank?
It is the sixth most at 66 and a half.
Is any of the CSIs on there?
You know. Wow. But all three NCISs are. 60 Minutes, I thought you guys would have. MacGyver, duh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The new MacGyver?
Yeah.
Even fucking, like, FBI Most Wanted, because I think that's technically FBI, which
is,
used to be.
Is Hawaii 50 on there?
Oh, that's right. No, it's not.
It's not on there?
Oh, not Hawaii 50.
That's a proper way to say it, Sam.
All right, here we go.
Remember, we're talking about the new Hawaii 50, not the original Hawaii 50.
So this is all right. So I'll tell you what the youngest show is.
Okay.
You tell me what the age is, and I'm sure it will still shock you.
Oh boy.
What is the average age of somebody watching Bob's Burgers, the youngest show on TV, youngest audience?
Oh.
And now, granted, I don't know how much, like, you know, Hulu or other streaming services play into these. This is like a Nielsen box, probably.
I'm going to go 14. I'm going to go 14.
You know what? I'm going to go, like, 23.
Sam is the closest and not even in the ballpark.
Wait, it's like 45, isn't it?
It's 44 and a half.
Wow.
Half of the people watching Bob's Burgers are over 45. Statistically.
Well, you know what? I think these numbers, I think a lot of these numbers are skewed because who the hell who's over 40 watches streaming as much as they do network?
Right.
I'd say if 40 or younger are streaming,
yeah.
40 over yeah. are network still. Yeah. Still.
Yeah. Yeah, under 40, you're not watching it live.
No.
Well, under 40, you're not watching NCIS. You're not watching 60 well, yeah. Minutes. I watched 60. Okay. Full. Okay. So 60 Minutes, I actually watched like four Fridays ago. And I watched the episode of the lady in Utah who has the missing kids
mm-hmm.
from Utah. And she went to Hawaii after kids were missing and all this other stuff. And I've been following it on the news as much as I possibly can. I don't know why. It's just I never watched 60 Minutes. It was the first 60 Minutes I've ever watched. And now I have the news alerts pop up now because I want to know what the hell's going on.
Oh, man.
All right, so what do you think is the, and this is in the bottom 20.
Okay.
Average age for Sunday Night Football, which is the lowest rated sports program unless you count wrestling, which I don't.
Right. 51.
52.
Sunday Night Football, yeah, Sunday Night Football I put high.
But that's even crazy because, I mean, you think of football, that has maybe the broadest audience possible.
Right.
Like they were saying, like the top, I don't know, I think like 8 of the top 10 shows for women last year were also football, which, you know, you wouldn't, but it doesn't like, take a lot either, you know?
Yeah. I think it's also, it's not necessarily, it's the younger crowd is there's a lot of the younger people who still watch football, but there's a ton of young people who don't watch sports at all.
Yeah.
Whereas all the older people, you know, they're still going to watch sports. The older people think of it as more of a socialization. Think of it as, I got to watch this.
I mean, also, like, think about how many people that are, we'll say, between like under the age of 40 who just don't have a television in their house.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a stunning amount.
Yeah.
Sunday Night Football doesn't stream live, I don't think.
I think it does.
I think it does.
Or maybe that's Monday night. I think Monday night.
Streams on
I think
ESPN.
Monday night does. I don't think Sunday
does. Yeah, Monday night streams on ESPN.
Oh,
and
who does Sunday night?
Thursday night, NBC.
That's NBC. NBC does stream it. NBC does stream
no,
it.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do. I've watched it. They do it on the app.
NBC like
not the but the, if you go on the NFL app, they'll stream it free. Like, you don't have to sign up or anything. You can just watch it on your...
the NFL. All right, yeah. So on the NFL
yep.
app then.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I have the NBC app, and they don't do it on
no.
that.
No, you can... You can
college.
Honestly, I watched more games on the NFL app streaming-wise than I did actually watching it live, like, on TV. And it was more or less like, I watched 5 minutes, turned it off, okay, did whatever. Oh, what's the score? Oh, I'll watch another 5 minutes of it.
Like, yeah, so yeah, like speaking about old people watching sports on TV, like the amount of baseball probably like the collective like our three, you know, sets of parents watch is probably incredible.
Mm.
Oh yeah,
ours, Sam and mine's is insane. My well, mom, I mean, it's
my
always
parents old. Watch zero baseball, so you're making up for us.
All right, my dad.
Yeah, I don't. My dad can't sit through a baseball game anymore. I can't sit through a baseball game anymore. No way.
Yeah. It's tough.
It's ruined everybody.
Yeah, it really has. And it's sad because, not to go on this tangent about baseball, but like the sport has ruined itself kind of thing, and it needs to realize what's wrong with it. Like, what?
Put Brockmire in charge.
Yeah, right? I love that. It's a great show. But like, why would you stream like a championship game, like a World Series game? Why would you start it at 8:30 at night on the East Coast?
Right, when it's going to be a 4-hour event.
Right. Like, it's not going to be over until close to 1 in the morning. Why would you do that?
That's, you're shooting yourself in the foot with that one.
Yeah.
That's like, on them.
There's no
it's
date.
The same with Monday night. It's the same with the Monday night football game. ESPN, Monday night at 8:50 is when it starts.
Yeah, and that's way too late. And I understand they're trying to do it so the West Coast can watch it, but
there's more people viewing it on the East Coast than there is on the West Coast.
You're right. I'd say there's probably, 40% of viewers are on the East Coast?
Probably more.
I would love to know those numbers.
Yeah. Because, like, I mean, baseball used to do so many day games, and they need to go back to that. They need to do day games. The problem is there's too many
night
games.
Doubleheaders, like all that shit.
Things that actually people cared about.
Who's gonna watch it during the day? That's another question. Because the majority of your population does work.
You put it on the radio. Plenty of people will listen to it on the radio.
Yeah, but a lot of local stations play the radio. So you go on our local station, you'll hear the Sox game no matter when they're played.
Oh, I know.
On the radio.
They should just play a Friday doubleheader.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be neat.
Honestly, it's Friday.
Just like dick off, like in the afternoon.
Yeah. Do like
7 innings.
Yeah. No, well.
Yeah. Two 7 inning games. Do what they do in like college.
No.
No, I just say make all the games 7 innings.
No, it's a 9 inning game.
Nope. Sorry. Nope. Sorry. You lose.
Honestly.
It's not the length, though. It's not the length of the game that's the problem.
The problem is
baseball lacks personality.
Yes. Yeah, because like you have basketball. Let's say you go see a Lakers game to go see LeBron James because you know he's playing for that team and you get to see him a lot. You go to watch a football game and you pick a quarterback and you want to go see Cowboys. You get to see Dak Prescott for like half the game. You go to a baseball game to go see Mike Trout. He's maybe up 3 times.
Plus, it's Mike Trout. He's an incredibly boring human being.
It's not a baseball, baseball today conversation without being like, hey guys, Mike Trout fucking sucks.
Yeah, but you look at it, Sam, I refuse to watch NBA basketball because of the personalities.
Well, you're a rare
breed. A lot of people want to watch it because of that.
I can't stand team sports where the personality is more about me than anything else.
I mean, that's basketball.
It doesn't even have to be about me. It just, you have to have goddamn personality.
Mm. Let me point me to an NBA team where it's more than 50% have a team mentality.
I think I don't watch enough NBA.
Yeah, there's none, Sam. There's none.
I mean, the Celtics have been doing pretty good at that. They've been forming together to like at least
I have to,
before this
I have
year
to admit
was canceled.
The past couple of years, their team has been
You can't say the past couple of years because it was Kyrie Irving and then everyone else.
No, it was before then. No, it was before him.
Well, when he was hurt.
All right, we're getting into a basketball discussion here. Hey. The last thing I want to do.
I know it's the last thing, but we need sports back in our lives, people.
I know.
I can only take so much of marble racing.
All right. Moving on.
All right. The last topic that we have tonight.
I need them.
Yeah. We need binge ideas.
I'm halfway through The Return of the Jedi right now, and I really need to move on from Star Wars.
All right. Watch the Star Trek movies.
No. 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 There are more bad than good.
No, at least watch the Next Generation ones with Patrick Stewart. Because, Generations is really good, and then it kind of falls off from there. But
I'm going to stop right there and pass on all of Star Trek. If I'm doing Star Trek, I'm starting from the beginning.
Don't do that to yourself. Don't do that to yourself.
Yeah, I know. I'm not going to.
There's a reason it was canceled.
Chris, I got a recommendation. It's a show I've always wanted to watch, but I never could. Maybe you'd like it. I'm not sure.
Okay.
But I know I might check it out. It just came on Netflix, Community.
Oh, yeah.
I did see it come out, but I don't know. We'll see.
I remember watching the first season of that and loving it, and then I just never got back into it. And now it's on Netflix, so I'm like, you know what? I might just jump on at that show again.
Okay.
The last season was Yahoo produced it, which was odd.
Yeah.
There's another show. I don't know if you would like it. Like, remember, was it the Happy Time Murders that came out? Was that last 2 years ago?
That's a bad movie.
That horribly bad movie. So
I think that was last year.
Was it last year? Oh my god! And it wasn't nominated for any Razzies. That tells you how bad Cats was.
anyways, yeah, so that movie was bad, but there's this show called The Fuzz that was produced by Yahoo back when Yahoo thought they could get into the streaming game, where it's, you know, it's exactly like what Happy Time Murders is, where it's like humans and puppets live together, but it's a very mature topic kind of thing. It's actually pretty good. I definitely like if you're kind of like Muppets, and you want it more mature, it's definitely pretty good, because it's like Scarface but with puppets and humans.
Does it have Muppets?
They're not actually Muppets, so there's no like Kermit the Frog or anything like that, but it's all like puppets.
Oh, that's a pass.
Why, would it be better if it had like Fozzie Bear in it?
No, I mean, it would be on very much par with my love for claymation movies. I tried watching that, what's the Dark Crystal thing?
Oh, the Dark Crystal show?
Yeah, that was fucking...
Did you watch the movie?
No, you told me you wanted to watch the show.
No, I know. I said I wanted to watch the show, but you got to watch the movie before you watch the show. And I made it, I think, through two episodes, and I was kind of like, this is too much. Because, like, I enjoyed the movie, and it was just really tough to get into that show.
I think I made it through 7 minutes of the show, and I had to shut it off.
Dark Crystal seems like it's a sequel to Rudolph's Shiny New Year.
From what you guys have described, it's not far off.
Dark Crystal, if you are very heavy into fantasy, if you love fantasy and you've never seen Dark Crystal, I would 100% recommend it. It is as fantasy can be, like with prophecies and stuff like that. Like, it's, oh, yeah. And it's really well done. The TV show goes into a lot more depth. I would definitely recommend starting on the movie, and if you like that, then move on to the show. Don't do what Chris did. Don't jump into the show first, because you will be very lost.
Oh, they tried to explain it to me in the first 6 minutes.
I know, it's a lot. They basically throw a lot at you, whereas if you watch the movie, it's a kind of like a refresher. It's like, that makes sense. And then you just like move on. So, yeah. But any other recommendations for binge watching? Wow.
John, you got anything?
I will say, you could do worse than Ozark. Do worse. Chris, I think Chris might, it would tickle Chris.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I guess it might. I don't know, we'll see. Anything nowadays, because I sat hovering over the, my finger was hovering over the Game of Thrones season one, episode one. Oh, and I'm glad I just moved on.
Oh boy.
Swiped right, if you will.
Yes.
Or left.
I'm really struggling with binge.
Is it right or left?
I don't know. We're too old and married.
You're talking about swiping?
Yes.
Yeah.
Swiping left.
Okay.
Swiping left.
Man, I'm really struggling with stuff to watch. Like, stream-worthy stuff. Damn. Because, like, everything I'm watching now, you've already watched, or you are, like... Because, like, Supernatural, which I'm assuming you're almost done with.
No, I actually, like, stopped at one point, and I haven't picked it up back up.
That's it, the exact weeks. Problem that I had. I stopped at one point, and I was just like, I'll get back to it later, and I just never have.
I think I watched something like 11 seasons in a month and a half.
Yeah, oh, my God.
There are just some shows like that where you just watch out of inertia.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, that's true.
It's not so much that you're enjoying it, it's just you're like... Get into a pattern of, no, I watch this now.
Yeah, it's like Band of Brothers. Once you start it, it's not, you don't stop until it's done.
Chris, have you ever watched iZombie?
On CW? I tried watching a couple episodes. I didn't like it too much.
Okay.
Yeah, I tried. It is in my wheelhouse, but I
that was a CW show that I actually enjoyed.
Yeah. So. Did you finish it, Sam?
I'm missing the last season.
I believe it's on Hulu.
Yeah, I might check that out.
Right. I just got a Facebook ad for a bulletproof vest. What the fuck is going on?
I'm afraid to see what my Facebook has.
How much do you think bulletproof vests cost, by the way?
$49.99.
No.
$300?
$150. $450, wow. That's some good stuff right there. Not that cheap quality stuff.
No, I'm sorry. $550.
Wow. All right.
I hope it works. Where do you return it if it doesn't work?
Oh, we might need to end this soon. I just clicked on a link and said the best part of books that the Harry Potter movies left out.
Oh, God. Yeah, we're going to end it here.
Yeah, no. Say it. What is it?
Oh, God.
No, sorry. A
book club next week. I bought a book to read. This is how bad it's getting.
What book did you buy?
I bought Liar's Poker by Michael Lewis.
Okay. I'm sorry. I only read Harry Potter.
I'm happy with my comic books, and although that's going to end after next week, unfortunately.
And I'm reading Homage to Catalonia by George Orwell.
All right, now we can end the podcast.
All right.
Yeah. Gonna have the podcast there.
Yeah. All right. Well,
killed the mood.
If you like our podcasts,
let me just tell you, Sam, it is the coldest, darkest day in April right now.
Oh, God. Anyways, you can find us on Stitcher, Podbean, iTunes, Facebook.com/KnightsOfNerditude. Send us a message on something to watch. We're up for anything you could possibly give us right now.
A bright cold. Motherfucker.
Anyways.
Yeah, I was gonna correct you because I have that page right in front of me. My sister made us these things where she cut out the first and last page of our favorite books, and that's on my desk. The page was right there, and it was a bright cold day in April.
Yeah. Sort of was.
So.
Goodbye, everyone.